Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Very good evening. Welcome along to the Score programme tonight here on Highland. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be talking soccer with Institute boss Sean Connor, who of course is now preparing for the new season, and he still doesn't know whether his side's going to be playing in the Premiership or the Championship of the Irish League. But in the latest development in the saga, the Irish FA did reject Institute's appeal on their relegation from the Championship under the UEFA mathematical formula. We'll hear more on that with him shortly. We'll also be speaking to the Derry boss Declan Devine. This week he signed a 12-month contract extension with the club. Cork of the opposition tomorrow evening at the Brandywell, and we have to wait and see, will they be involved in Europe come next week? But we're going to start with Gaelic games, and this coming Sunday we'll see the fourth and final round fixtures in the Donegal Senior Football Championship. The eight ties in round four before we go to the knockout stage all start at 3 o'clock. It's going to be a very, very busy Sunday sport, and you will of course be able to follow all the action here on Highland this coming weekend. I've been looking forward to those eight games with our GAA correspondent Brendan Kilcoyne, and we've also been talking about some of the big GAA related stories this week, where of course behind closed doors is the lead topic. I suppose, Brendan, we've got round four to come now of the Donegal Senior Club Championship this coming Sunday. It's going to be a seriously busy Sunday afternoon. Places, of course, to be decided for quarterfinals, relegation, who's going to be safe. But the big talking point in the Gaelic games world this week has, of course, been around no spectators and matches played behind closed doors. We were at games, of course, where there was spectators there. There's not going to be any at all at any of the matches this coming weekend. What's your feeling on the decision made, Brendan? Because it seems to be that those that are involved in sport just can't fathom or understand the decision. And is that the same with you?
Yeah, listen, I suppose we've been given an element of joy over the last number of weeks after the lockdown period and everything, where we could all attend games. And that has now been really taken away from a lot of people. And I think therein lies the major problem. You know, there is a lot of anger across social media, etc., with people on this. Listen, it's very disappointing. It's disappointing for the players involved, is disappointing for the supporters that can't go. And it's going to create a lot of hassle for the clubs involved trying to limit that and trying to restrict it and police it as such kind of thing. But I suppose of paramount importance in all of this, and it's not to be forgotten, are the health of the GAA's members, Oisin. And, you know, the GAA was built by people that are now, you know, elderly, and they're still involved in their clubs, and we have to look to protect them, to protect the old and vulnerable. So there's so much happening out there that no one really knows what the answers are. So I think we need to be patient. I think we need to trust the people that are giving us NFET, that are giving us our guidance on that. And I totally get the frustration. Like, I know my own father down in Sligo goes to matches all over the place, and he's going to be very disappointed that he can't go to matches going forward. So it's going to create a completely different dynamic for championships that have to be played out over the next while. But, you know, it is what it is, Oisin. And whilst it's very disappointing, I think we're in extreme circumstances here, and we just have to be wary of, you know, this COVID that's still very much alive and still very much out there. And we need to protect our members. We need to protect the people that built the organisation to what it is today, Oisin.
And if this is to continue with the behind closed doors element to matches, and we do get the club championships finished and done by the end of September, Brendan, then we're moving on to inter-county. Is there going to be an inter-county championship? Because it seems to be all up in the air at the moment.
Yeah, I think there's a massive question mark. And going back to the last question, I think it's the lack of clarity and that's coming from higher sources in relation to the whole scenario, Oisin, from the point of view. You know, we can see different, as GAA people, we can see things going on differently in other realms of life, in bars and restaurants, etc. And that's fine, and good luck to them. And, you know, they have to make a living. but there's no real guidance coming from it. And there was a lot of confusion when the announcement was made earlier this week. Will there be inter-county? Again, you know, it's very difficult to see it at the minute, so it is. And again, that's where the GAA, the government, NFET need to come out. Lads are training, you know, they're getting themselves prepared, and it's very difficult. Like, you think about the supporters and they're frustrated by this. I can only imagine how the players are feeling about it, because they don't know what's happening from week to week. If you're an inter-county player, okay, you're involved with your club, and it's brilliant at the minute, you know, to see the inter-county players really involved with their clubs and driving their clubs on. But the uncertainty about what's going to happen down the line, I'm sure, is bearing on them too, because, you know, we all want to see an inter-county championship, but, you know, with the risks involved, with what we're seeing every day, the number of cases going up countrywide, the issues that are out there in relation to containing this virus, it is difficult to see how it can be held and held successfully without, you know, and again, we need to get that clarity. I think a decision needs to be made one way or the other on this, Oisin, because there's so much misinformation and so much misunderstanding out there of the whole situation. And we have to put the health of our members, as I previously said, and the health services who have done such a fantastic work. Now, that doesn't take away from, you know, we all know the GAA have done really stood up and put their shoulder to the wheel over the last 6 months, and they've been integral in, you know, bringing the whole of Ireland together and suppressing this virus. But there's so much out there that's unknown. And, you know, I would have a fear that the inter-county just may not be able to go ahead. And what, you know, I know players want to play it, but is there any real value in it if you're having zero crowds at it, an Ulster final with zero crowd? And now, I'm looking at a lot of sport on the TV over the last number of weeks, and, you know, you're seeing the final stages of the Europa League and the Champions League being played behind closed doors. There's no spectators at it, really. Like, and then you look at some of the GAA matches that have been televised down over the last few weeks, and you're seeing a sprinkling of crowds. Certainly, you know, they're well spaced out in that, in the majority, in most cases. But, you know, it is a really tough question. It is something, I suppose, the GAA feel somewhat targeted, yeah. But all sports are in the same boat, and it's the GAA people that are standing up and arguing against this, mostly. So
can the counties afford it, is the other side of it, Brendan?
Can they, yeah, and that's the other big question, because there's no revenue stream coming into the counties at the moment. Like, you know, you look at some of the big championship games that have been played in Donegal and Tyrone and Derry over the last number of weeks, and there would have been major money spinners for the clubs involved, and they're not getting that revenue in now. The GAA isn't getting the revenue in, and the same question is going to be asked when it comes to inter-county. You know, the inter-county panels and teams, you know, the county boards just don't have, contrary to a lot of people's opinions out there, county boards aren't loaded with money. You know, we look at ourselves here in Donegal, there's a major investment going on in Convoy into the centre of excellence. There's no major cash stash there that can basically say, right, there's an X amount of money to train the team for the next 3 months should you get to an All-Ireland final. You know, and some counties may be in better positions than others. And again, that brings up the other argument, you know, the unequal share of money throughout the country, etc. So some counties would be fine and will get away with it, but the majority, I would think, would struggle financially to field inter-county football and hurling teams over that three-month period due to the lack of revenue. The club championships are the main source of revenue for county boards throughout the years, and they're not going to get that revenue. And whatever chance they thought they might have raised a few pound out of it was quashed this week with the announcement that, you know, all games, club games, are to be played behind closed doors over the next few weeks.
And there is, of course, the discussion ongoing at the moment as well, Brendan, about splitting the season, and the GPA are looking for a 23-week inter-county season to facilitate more time for clubs. Now, the Fixtures Task Force have apparently met this week, and there has been real support towards that. Is that something that you would be in favour of? You've played, of course, and managed a lot of club football, but you've also played at inter-county level for Sligo as well. Brendan, do you understand what the conundrum is, and is it the right way going forward?
Listen, it's a massive conundrum for all people involved, and it's something that has been spoken widely about now for 20 years, Oisin, about the season and the overlapping of the season between club and county. Again, I don't know the finer detail here in relation to splitting the season. And I know it's a 23-week inter-county. And, you know, I think to start from the 1st of August, if I'm correct in saying, Oisin, And, you know, that's going to change the dynamic of the intercounty season completely because, you know, we're used to having our All-Ireland finals and our big quarter-final matches, semi-final matches played through August, July, August. They are now going to be shifted back to September, October. And, you know, listen, we have to face up to this. The intercounty football is the, you know, it's the big money spinner for the GAA. It's the attractive part of the GAA to a lot of people. But the clubs have suffered somewhat in this. So it does entail coming up with a plan that is going to ensure that the clubs do get a window. So I can see a lot of merit in it. But again, I don't know the detail from the point of view, you know, even school, college football hasn't been mentioned. And, you know, for example, the Sigerson, you know, seems to be very much put on the back foot over the last number of years. And it's not getting the exposure that it once got. And it needs a window. College and school football also need a window. They're hugely important when you're involved at that level. And that needs a window. It needs to be allocated a certain time that it can be played. So there's more than Club B County here. There's a lot of other vagaries that need to be taken into consideration. So there are.
Okay, Brendan, we'll move on to the action this weekend. Round 4 of the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior Football Championship. It's the last round before we hit the knockout stages. And, of course, there is 8 further games down for decision. We do know who the top 8 are going to be. It's about basically placings for the quarterfinals. They've Conall Gweedore, Kilcar, St. Eunan's. We've also got McCool's, Glenfinn, Michaels and Bundoran, all assured of a last 8 finish, but it's about who really is going to play who. But the big game is at the O'Donnell Park, St. Eunan's against St. Michael's. That's going to be our feature match on Sunday Sport. I suppose your predictions on that one going into it, Brendan.
Yeah, and we've spoken about this game. It's an attractive tie. St. Michael's have 6 points on the board, but they haven't really been blown. You know, they haven't really been playing great football as such. They've struggled over the line in a couple of them games. Now, they have had tougher games. But I think the big issue for St. Michael's coming into this game is, you know, the injury list that they have at the moment. And, you know, outlined, they've a number of players missing before the season even started. And these are key players. These, you know, for a team like St. Michael's to lose the quantity of players that they have, the likes of Witherow, Oisin Langill, Daniel McLaughlin, not been available for the year is a huge blow to them. And then on top of that, for Michael Langan, after 10 minutes the first day to pick up an injury after scoring a brilliant goal, you know, he's going to be a big loss. Christy Toy picked a knock up, as did Stephen Doak. So are they going to be available for this weekend? Because St. Michael's wouldn't have the strength and depth that perhaps the top 4 clubs have, and they wouldn't be able to withstand losing them 4 players. Now, I think they've done really well. I think they'll be really happy with 6 points today. Gary O'Neill, he's doing a really good job down there. So I'm wondering, do they just kind of think, listen, we're in the quarterfinal. Let's try and get a few of these injured players back in the field. It'll give them another 3 weeks or two weeks to get ready for a quarterfinal. On the St. Eunan side, you know, I was really impressed with them last weekend against Killybegs. They're very strong defensively now. Okay, they've lost Conor Morrison to what appears to be a serious injury, but they have so much backup. And, you know, you look at last weekend, Darren Mulgrew hadn't featured in the championship, came in and played a really, really good game for St. Eunan's in the middle of the field. He was involved in a lot of the important stuff that happened in the game. And then we look at their forward line, we see the likes of Shane O'Donnell really stepping up to the plate. But Eunan's are a very young side and they're learning and improving all the time. And they really will want to be pushing on in order to get a home quarter final in this game. And I think the fact that they have home advantage is a major factor here that could be just enough to see them over the line against St. Michael's, with both teams still making it through to the quarter finals, Oisin.
Yeah. The bottom 8 teams are technically still fighting relegation. That's Foremasters, Glenswilly, St. Noel's, Milford, Killybegs, Termon, Dunloe, Ardragh, all involved in the mix there, with Termon bringing up the rear off the table. Dunloe are meeting Killybegs. This is a big relegation battle. And even if one of these sides win come Sunday, there's still a likelihood that they could be involved in the relegation playoffs in the last 4, despite taking a win, Brendan.
Yeah, and it's intriguing, you know, that there are so many teams that are caught up in this relegation battle and that won't want to finish in the bottom 4. Now, listen, they're going to get another couple of chances in any case, so it's not the be-all and end-all. But you look at Dunloe, you know, they were unlucky. They put up a good fight last week away to Foremasters. There's a home to Killybegs. Killybegs, we expected a bit more from Killybegs at the start of the championship. They've really struggled. Like, they've lost the 3 games, a couple of them heavily. You know, they've score difference of minus 38, you know. But I feel they're somewhat better than that. Now, that to travel to Dunloe, and we all know, everyone that plays has played club football in Donegal knows that Dunloe isn't the easiest place in the world to go and get a result. The pitch isn't the best. So, but that said, I can see a bounce back from Killybegs this weekend. They're not going to be happy with themselves. Huey is back, having the game under his belt after having an injury for a few weeks will help him. And I just feel like Killybegs may have too much here that might be enough to maybe creep them out of that relegation bother. That would leave Dunloe, obviously, then on 0 points, and they would finish in the bottom four, Roisin.
Yeah. It's interesting to note as well, a lot of these teams that's in the bottom four are all at home at the weekend as well, Brendan. The likes are Ardrath and Terman and Glenswilly, who's in that battle as well, and Milford are hosting Four Masters. But in Ardrath, they're ticking on Bundoran. Can Ardrath bounce back from their defeats so far in the competition? Can they trouble Bundoran? Or the fact that Bundoran are in the quarterfinals already and have two wins on under the belt, will they be too strong for them?
You would expect Bundoran to be too strong for Ardrath, despite the fact that Ardrath at home. Ardrath are building a young team again, so they are, and they're going to find it difficult. I think Paddy McGrath might have picked up a knock. I know he went off early last weekend, so he would obviously be a massive loss if he wasn't available, because he would be seen as a huge leader, obviously, within this Ardrath team. Bundoran were impressive enough. You know, we saw them play in Ardrath or in Termin a couple of weeks ago. They have a fair bit of quality throughout the team, so they have. And, you know, the players that can step in, like the day down in Termin, Timmy Govrov wasn't very prominent, but last weekend then he goes out and shoots 1-4. So they have good forwards. Cian McNiff, you know, Gary Clancy, of course, if Jamie Brennan, then they'll have Paul Brennan back this weekend. So you would expect Bundoran to, you know, to try and gain momentum going into the quarterfinals and to go at this game gung ho and to try and beat Ardrath down in Ardrath. But it's going to be no easy task. Ardrath are a proud club, and you know they've been struggling in recent years, but they would like to see themselves, and it'll be a major focus for them to see themselves remain in senior football. And they always seem to find a way to do that.
On to the Burn Road, Termin against St. Noel's, Brendan.
Yeah, really, really interesting tie. You know, Noel's currently sitting on 2 points with a score difference of minus 23. Like, and you look at Termin, but Termin have, you know, they've got the raw end of the stick in relation to the draw up to now. They've 0 points with a minus 58 score difference. So, you know, it's going to be difficult for Termin after taking a couple of heavy beatings. But I saw them play against Bundoran the day down the Burn Road, and they played a lot, that they did a lot of things right that day. They were somewhat unfortunate, and they were probably beaten by a better team. You know, Bundoran were the better team, were able to close it out in the end. But what I liked about Termin was their ability to stick with it and not throw in the towel, and they kept coming back every time Bundoran pulled away. So Termin again, you know, they're really starting off from scratch. They've brought in a lot of young fellas, and they probably lack a leader of or two at the moment. You know, Sean the Decent is out at the moment. He's not playing, and they lack a player of his stature that can basically bring a bit of, you know, experience to it. But that said, they still have some quality. If Enda McCormick can click form, if Dara Keelan McDade can hit form, they have plenty of footballers all over the field, so they have. And I think at home, you know, fighting for their lives, I fancied them to just pip St. Noel's. Now, St. Noel's have made the step up to senior football this year, and they've done really well. They've picked up a win. You know, I know they went very defensive against Gidor when they played them at home, probably in a damage limitation exercise. It'll be interesting to see how they set up this weekend against Termin away from home. We don't know what the weather conditions are going to be like on Sunday. You know, it could be very, very windy, and these things will all have an effect on the game. But I would expect Termin at home with senior status on the line to really come out fighting and to put up a good show and possibly just about pull through washing.
Yeah, well, Termin are at the bottom of the table, and even if they do win, it doesn't guarantee them that they're going to get out of the last four due to having such a big minus score difference. Well, with a massive plus score difference is Niamh Connell, Brendan, and they've been handing out some hammerings in the opening three rounds, so they have. Next up for them is Glenswilly. Will they be dishing out a hammering to the Glen men, or can Glenswilly hold it tight at the back, keep the score down, and stay out of the bottom four?
Yeah, well, listen, I suppose it's an indication of the times we're in. You know, to be talking about Glenswilly on the end of a hammering is strange talk for a team that have won three championships in the last 10 years. But unfortunately for the Glen, you know, they're not the power they were. Everyone, you know, it's generally acknowledged, you know, Big Neil isn't playing this year. He was the double act for Michael, so Michael Murphy down through the years. And they seem to be really struggling. Again, they're rebuilding. They're at home to Niamh Connell team that are just rampant, and they really look tuned in, Niamh Connell, this year. They're putting massive scores together. They're very focused on every game. They're not taking their foot off the pedal at any stage, no matter whether 5, 10, 15 points up. They still seem to want to hammer it home. They've got so much talent. You can look at the substitutes that they're bringing on week to show you the depth of talent that they have. So, listen, Glenswilly, I don't see Glenswilly at home taking a hammering from too many teams. I just think they have this inherent sort of pride built within them that they will set up, and that they'll be well organised for this weekend, not to let Niamh Connell run riot, because Glenswilly will not want to get drawn down into that relegation battle. I know they're there at the moment, but if they can keep the scoreline tight, it should be enough to keep them safe.
Sitting second in the standings, and will have a home quarter final as Gidore, and their last game before the knockout stages in round four is at home at Mahragallan, taking on McCools, who will of course be in the quarter finals as well. Brendan, some people have questioned Gidore this year, given their performances, and maybe at times it has taken them slowly in the game to get into it, to a match. But then other quarters will feel that Gidore maybe are just pacing themselves and are going to start turning the screw once it comes quarter-final time. What's your thoughts on the winners from 2018 so far this year?
Yeah, well, listen, you know, I would be very reluctant to question Gidore about Hampton. They've 6 points on the board, Ashin, and they've a plus score difference of 50. So, you know, I do appreciate why people are saying that to a degree, but, you know, they're winning their games. They're winning them comfortably. They've such an array of talent, and again, they're very strong squad-wise. They've a couple of players to come back, and of course, they have that man, Oran McNeilis, who at the flick of a switch can just turn on that swashbuckling style that we all know he has. Gidore are going to be there. I think they're a hurt team, that they're a burnt team from last year. Obviously, you know, losing the county final after that epic three-game saga with Niamh Connell. And I think come the knockout stages, you're going to see more of what Gidore are about. In relation to McCools, you know, they've done really well. They're going to be so happy up in Ballybuffet. They've unbeaten so far in the championship. 5 points on the board, guaranteed quarter final. You know, they have Oisin Gallen, who is supposed to be playing brilliant football, the two Rileys, Keegan. They've good footballers all over the field. It's been a great championship so far for McCools. And, you know, it is a big ask to go down to Mahragallan, and Gidore already know they're in a quarter final. Of course they're going to be playing, and they're going to be playing hard to win this game. So I can see them winning comfortably enough without having to overstretch themselves, Oisin.
And another side which will be very happy with their performance this year are Glenfin, who have secured a quarter final berth. They're safe in senior football. That would have been their target at the start of the year, and they're going to wrap up round four with a home tie. But Kilkear are going to be of the opposition. Kilkear, of course, almost secured off a quarter final at home, but you would expect them to seal that place come Sunday, Brendan.
Yeah, and you know, both teams tied on 5 points, Glenfin at home, and I've spoke before about Glenfin at home, and they're going to be really difficult to beat, so they are in their home venue. But you just look at this Kilkear team, you know, and whilst, you know, they were excellent against St. Junans in the first half out in O'Donnell Park, and they really caused St. Junans a lot of trouble coming from deep, runners coming from everywhere. But whatever happened in the second half, you know, they weren't that same force. But then they went out last weekend and really, you know, turned on the style, put up a massive score. They've scored potential all over the field. From number five up, Kilkear will attack you and hurt you. And particularly from that, you know, middle third, they'll come at you and cause you trouble. And this is a major step up. This is a major ask for Glenfin. Can they contain this Kilkear team? Because when they get their tails up, they're really, really very good. Mark McHugh is playing brilliant football for Kilkear at the moment, and is really the driver of this side. You know, we spoke before about them having their county players at training and available them 24/7, and that's going to make a big difference. And you look at, you know, the support, you know, I'm not calling them support, but you look at the likes of Matthew and Andrew McLean, Connor Doherty, Geir McGinley, without even looking at the county guys, Stephen McBrearty, they've a lot of talent on the field, so they have that can hurt you. and that are capable of putting up a big score. So Glenfinn are going to be at the pin of their collar to contain this Kilcar team on Sunday. You know, we know how good Frank McLean is, and he's the cornerstone of the Glenfinn team. And Gerard Ward is putting up massive scores, but this is a different level they're going into. They're meeting one of the top four, and that's when the real tests start for some of these teams, Oisin. How can they cope with the pace, power, and finishing power of these top four teams? And that remains to be seen. We'll have an answer on Sunday evening. But I would expect Kilcar to come away with a win and finish on 8 points, Oisin, on that one, you know.
Okay, Brendan. The final game is the match we're going to send you to. You're going to Milford on Sunday to watch them host Four Masters. Going into the championship, someone suggested Four Masters would be odds on to get relegated, but that's now very much not the case after their one against Dunloe. Milford are at home, knowing that they have to win their last game, but it's a same sort of scenario with Dunloe and Killybegs. Even if they do win, they're not assured yet of a place in senior football for next year. Is this a tight one to call, is it, Brendan?
It really is, yeah. It is a tight one to call. Four Masters have made progress this year. They eked out a very good win with late goals against Dunloe last weekend. And, you know, they showed a lot of battle and quality. I think they gained a lot of heart from the put up a good performance against, albeit, a Glen Swilly team possibly on the slide the week before. So, you know, they have made progress. The big Kevin McBrady in the middle of the park leading it out for them. But it's... And to pick up 2 points, they're in a fairly good position. But Milford, you know, have been somewhat unfortunate. They were unfortunate. They played St. Michael's. I think it wasn't the second game and were leading with time almost up. And a few late scores got St. Michael's over the line that day. They went down and they played fairly well against Bundoran for a period of time. But again, come unstuck against what were probably a better team. They're at home this weekend. You know, they haven't really got going in this championship. I felt, looking at them over the last few years, that they had a bit more potential. You know, they've Chippy Barrett, they've Luke and Kane Barrett, two, you know, really good footballers, big Ryan McMahon in the middle of the field. Now, I suppose the concern for them is that their scorer-in-chief, I think Callum McGinnigan, picked up an injury last weekend. He kicks all the frees and he's really good. Like, every week you look at the match reports, Callum McGinnigan is coming in with 7 or 8 points from frees. So if he's available to them, I think Milford will have enough to sneak this one against Four Masters. Now, how that leaves the bottom of the table is kind of very imponderable, because it is so tight down there with scoring difference. You know, a lot of the teams have negative scoring difference. So it's going to be interesting to see Sunday evening how these games, when they do transpire, who's going to finish up in the top four. But it really is a toss-up, Oisin, you know. But I do expect Milford to come out and have a bit too much for Four Masters at home on Sunday.
Okay then, Brendan, that's the 8 games in round 4 of the championship. As we head into the last round before the quarterfinals, who do you see has been the predicted last 8 encounters?
Well, again, you know, it's very much looking like the big four are going to get them coveted home quarterfinal spots. Like, so you, what you're possibly looking at is Niamh Connell against McCool's, Gidor against Glenfinn, and then the last one is a bit more uncertain. Kilcar maybe against St. Michael's, and Unions against Bundoran.
It could
end up, I think, Unions against Michael's and Kilcar against Bundoran, depending on score difference on Sunday evening. But again, there are some interesting ties, but the big thing here is the big four are going to be at home, so you're possibly looking at this stage at the big four again making it to the last four in the county for the county semi-finals, as they did last year, Oisin. That would be my figuring of it at this stage.
Right, an even harder question. Who's the bottom four going to be?
Yeah, well, that is really difficult. And again, that goes back to, you know, it's going to come down to score difference. So it is. You currently have 5 teams on no points and 3 teams on 2 points. So any of them can be dragged into this scenario, into the relegation scenario on Sunday evening. You know, obviously, to determine no points minus 58 look to be in trouble, you know, that they are going to be part of it. And then after that, it depends on score difference, Oisin, and it could be a mix of any of them 8 teams pending how results go. And that's what makes it really interesting. And, you know, you have some of these teams playing each other. You've done Low Killybegs, Milford, Four Masters. So, you know, they're massive games in the context of the relegation playoffs on Sunday.
You haven't answered my question, but I asked you who was the bottom four. Who do you think is going to be the bottom four?
Well, sure. I tipped Termin to pick up 2 points, actually, yeah, against St. Noel's, because I think they will win at home. But You know, will that be enough to drag them out of the bottom four with the current minus score difference of minus 58? It possibly will not be, Oisin, and that's the unfortunate thing for the Tyrman lads, you know. Killy Beggs, you know, tip them to win. They could go to 2 points depending on how much they improve their score difference. So, listen, Oisin, it's not a question that's really...
You're not going to give me another three then, is what you're telling me, Brendan.
I'm not going to give you another three. I can tell you it'll be one of Tyrman or four of Tyrman convention for a grad, although no one's been 24 Masters.
All right. One thing is, Brendan, we're set for a blockbuster Sunday. Eight games all starting at 3 o'clock. Highlands' main fixture is going to be at the O'Donnell Park at St. Union's against St. Michael's, and we'll have reporters at the other seven round four encounters in the senior championship this coming Sunday. It's going to be a very, very busy day. Myself and Brendan will have the calculators out, I'm sure, through the course of the afternoon to see if we can find another three in that bottom four. Brendan, thanks for joining us.
No problem, Oisin. Pleasure. Thank you.
Brendan Kilcoyne there looking at the Donegal Senior Football Championship action for this coming weekend. The latest round in the Donegal Intermediate Football Championship is also on Saturday with a number of ties, with some big games, and of course sides jostling for position as well. Just like in the seniors, they head to the quarterfinals. Clonhilly will play Niamh Breed, Ballintagon Niamh Mura, Niamh Ulton are up against Red Hughes, Fanagales play Aru Ballyshannon, Burt face off with Niamh Columba, and Niamh Columkill are taking on Buncrana. While in the Junior Championship, Letterkenny Gales playing Arosa, Pettigo take on Niamh Padraig Muff, and Uris against Carndonagh. Those matches all on Sunday afternoon, and then Downings are playing Mobile on Saturday evening. Also on Sunday, it's the Donegal Senior Ladies Football Championship semi-finals. Tyrman are taking on Niamh Connell, and Glenfinn will play Mobile. Those matches start at 10:30 on Sunday morning. The Intermediate Ladies semi-finals will see St Unions against Fanagales, and St Noel's are up against Milford. It's going to be another busy weekend as well in the Derry Senior Football Club Championship. Number of ties on Saturday. Banagher play the defending champions O'Donovan Rossa, and Ballanderry are taking on last year's beaten finalist Glen. While in Group D, it's Dungiven against John Mitchell's of Clody. Then on Sunday, Newbridge will play Ballaghy, Four Glen versus the Loop, Slochnil go to Lavey, Kilray host Onrua Coleraine, and Swatra will play Ballinascreen. Turning our attention now to soccer. Institute boss Sean Connor says his focus now is firmly on getting a team assembled ahead of next season. He still doesn't know whether his side will be playing in the Premiership or the Championship when the new campaign gets underway. But in the latest development in their battle against relegation, the Irish FA this week rejected the appeal lodged by Institute over the way they were relegated in the use of the UEFA mathematical formula. So under the Irish FA, they have been relegated to the Championship, but it seems as if there is still a number of avenues for Institute to appeal that. Earlier today, I spoke to Sean Connor, the Institute boss, who first of all said that he was not surprised by the decision, but disappointed.
My first reaction was obviously disappointment, because I've been aware of the whole process. I've been in contact with my chairman throughout the whole process and been involved at the very start. And I was aware of the intricate details of our appeal and the grounds of which we made the appeal. And I was really expecting it to be successful. Am I surprised that it wasn't successful? No, I'm not, because the reasons for the appeal being rejected yesterday just came back, and it was really just a bit of a whitewash, you know, and so I really was half expecting that, you know.
Yeah. And then, again, Institute, as they have done, they've responded as well. But I suppose four words have highlighted here, Sean, in front of me. Sporting integrity and financial viability. They are two things that was highlighted. How much an impact is that having on both on the club on both of those issues?
Well, I think the one thing that I'll say is that, you know, my focus really now and really for the last lot of weeks has been on the players. I've got to look after my players. I've got to look after the squad building, and I've got to start to put together a team that's going to compete whatever division we're in, because I'm quite sure that the club are open to all avenues now that we've had this decision. From day one, I don't think sport integrity has been adhered to at all. And, you know, in terms of the financial viability, you know, we were the only club for this whole process that will suffer, because obviously if a relegation stands, you know, your gate receipts are down, your sponsorship revenue is down, there's huge financial implications that have been imparted upon this football club. And if you've got to remember, it's only 3 years ago that the club was in difficulties because of the flooding of the stadium. So I think Institute as a club over the last number of years have come through both man-made and non-man-made problems, but they're still standing. And as I say, my job now really, Oisin, is to focus on putting the squad together. I've been speaking to all the players. We asked all our players to keep their options open until we knew exactly what league we're in. The majority of them have done that. We certainly lost one or two players, but the players that we lost were not really in my long-term plan, so that hasn't affected me entirely, you know.
And maybe just before we look at those players, one other question in relation to the relegation saga. Is it done and dusted yet, or is there going to be more in this process, Sean?
Well, I think in Bill Anderson, I've got a chairman who's full of integrity, honesty, and he's very very clever man. And, you know, we spoke to him this morning, and I'm aware now that the club are weighing up a number of other options. And as I say, you know, I've told the chairman that he that's his business, he goes and does that. And my job is to now go and try and get all the players on board that I want to keep on board and recruit those new players that I'm looking to recruit.
Okay. Well, let's speak about players then. Who are you retaining as you look ahead to a new campaign, even though you don't know yet what division it's going to be in, Sean?
Well, I'm looking to retain the majority of the squad left from last year. So, you know, the likes of Conor Turris, Peter Doherty, Oran Brogan, Aidan McCauley, James Henry, Jake Francis, Sean Doherty, Graham Crown, Benny McLaughlin, Cormac Burke, Ahu Obakan, Liam Walsh, Alex Pomeroy, all those boys, we've all talked to them, and they're all committed to staying with the football club. So now we've just got to get all that organised, and there are a number of other players that I'm talking to. I don't really want to mention the players that I'm talking to because I don't think it's fair. Yeah. Because obviously some of them are at clubs, and some of them are actually actively playing at this moment in time. So once we've gone through the process of speaking to the clubs, then we can announce those players.
Yeah.
But there's certainly one or two interesting players that I think will add both experience and quality to what we have.
Is it making your job harder given the situation that's going on with the Irish FA, the Northern Ireland Football League, and the relegation saga? Is it making it more difficult maybe for you to talk to players, maybe players to be responsive to you?
Well, of course it is. And you know, we've had, as I say, we've had some players who've left the football club, and some of those have left, you know, as part of my development plan. But there's one or two that you know, we could still lose, and we're still trying to talk to, because there's one or two feel they want to play in the Premier League football. Now, obviously, Evan Tweed, Rory Brown are high-profile losses, players that you definitely have wanted to keep, but, you know, they went to Glentoran and Coleraine, respectively. You know, we spoke with Ronan Wilson. He made a decision to go to Coleraine. So, yes, it does make it difficult, but, you know, managing an institute is always difficult because, you know, financially, we're obviously one of the smallest, but if not the smallest budget in the Premiership. And again, when we go into the Championship, we'd probably be, there's one or two other clubs who I'm sure would be spending similar amounts to ourselves. So I think managing at this level is never easy. But, you know, I think I've enough experience. I've been around the block enough times to be able to deal with those pressures and produce a team that I think will be competitive.
Yeah, just finally then, being competitive, be it in the Premiership or the Championship, is there much of a difference between those two levels of football, Sean, in your eyes? And how do you get your squad right at the minute, looking into, you don't really know what direction you're going?
Well, there certainly is a big difference, you know, in terms of the quality. The Irish Premier League, you know, I would say it's the gap between the Irish League and the League of Ireland has certainly closed. You know, certainly the likes of Linfield, Glentoran, Larne, Cliftonville, Crusaders would certainly be well more than capable of holding their own in the League of Ireland. So there's a massive gap, I think, between that division and the Premiership, you know, and it's a very good quality league. But what we've always tried to do, and where the type of club is, you know, we've always had a young squad. I think of the squad that I'm looking to put together. I was doing an exercise the other day, and the average age of the squad will be 22. So that's a very, very young squad. But with that, you get enthusiasm, you get really high levels of energy, and you get players who are coachable and players who are listening. So I think if we can keep them focused, my job as the manager is to really let the players focus on training and developing as players and not worry about what's going on off the field. As I say, we've got a very capable chairman who'll deal with that. I think we'll be competitive in the championship, and I think if we remain in the premiership, likewise we'll be competitive. Yeah. You know, the recruitment for the premiership may be slightly different. There may be one or two players that I've targeted that we won't get if we're in the championship, but that if we do remain in the premiership, then we can certainly get.
You do have a large number of Donegal players there already. Can we expect more Donegal players in the signings?
Well, I think any of the boys who've come from Donegal have shown a good honesty and a good application and great attitude, and I think the standards within some of the teams in Donegal is very, very high. So yeah, we've a Horizon one or two players currently playing in that league. Likewise, we've a Horizon one or two players who've maybe been released from Premier Division clubs in the north.
Okay. Listen, Sean, thanks for taking the call, and all we can do is wish you the best with your preparations for on the field and indeed with what the club are doing off the field in relation to the current situation with the Irish League and the Northern Irish Football League. Thanks, Sean.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Institute boss Sean Connor. Staying with soccer, Derry related, and Derry City kick off the weekend's Premier Division action tomorrow evening when they host a Cork City. It's going to be a busy couple of days for Derry, a period of 8 days actually, where they could possibly be involved in a European tie in Lithuania this coming Monday. But there is still a doubt, of course, hanging over that tie in relation to COVID-19 restrictions. But we expect more news on that in the coming days. But Derry, of course, go into the Premier Division clash against Cork tomorrow night off the back of a draw against Shells. Derry boss Declan Devine is looking for an improved performance. This week he did, of course, sign a 12-month extension at the Brandywell, and Declan told me earlier today that it was an easy decision for him and the board to come to.
Absolutely, Archie. You know, it's something I class as an extreme honour to manage this football club. When I came in just under 2 years ago, we knew there was a lot of work to be done. There still continues to be a lot of work. We're nowhere near where we want to be. We had a relatively successful season last year. We want to have more continuity in our approach this year. We feel we have to get better. You know, there's points we've dropped this year that we need to make sure we don't drop moving forward. But look, it's an honour to manage this football club. Really and truly, it's about, you know, making sure we're progressing and we're taking the team up the table and competing for trophies. But look, it's a very difficult league. It's a club that we understand we've got to work extremely hard to make sure that we have a team that's capable of challenging. And, you know, in the light of this season, it's been very difficult with the COVID and the start-stop nature of it and, you know, the smaller amount of games that we have to play. But listen, delighted to get the deal done, but more importantly, we're looking forward to the game on Friday more than anything else.
Yeah, Cork is the opposition. Obviously, last time out, would you see it as dropping points against Shells, and how are you going to maybe right the wrongs from that going into this one, Declan?
Well, I think if you reflect on the games we've played up to now, we have been in front of Waterford and lost the game. We've been in front of home to Shamrock Rovers, and with 13 minutes left, we lost the game. And you know, we were 1-0 up against Shelburne in Tulka Park and didn't start the second half at a level that we need to. So, look, we're very honest with ourselves. We reflect on every game. And there's certainly been points dropped this year that shouldn't have been dropped. So, you know, we have to be honest and say, yes, we must do better. But I have to say that this group of players has given a lot of players, as I've stated in the past, are at different levels of fitness. I think when you see guys coming off the bench last week, like Jake Dunwoody and Jack Malone and Adam Hamill, for instance, I think, you know, the work in progress is moving in the right direction. But look, we've got to make sure now we get about our job, do the best we can, because we've three huge games coming up in the next 8 days. And, you know, the first of those is a very difficult task against Cork, because they've been on a good run of form themselves. They've beat Sligo quite comfortably. They beat Longford in the Cup and had a real good draw away to Waterford. So under no illusion, Neil Fenn will be coming up here fancying these chances, and we got to make sure we're ready for that fight.
Yeah. How thin is the line between suffering defeat, getting a draw and winning, and these sort of mistakes that you're not seeing out, Declan? Are they only really small margins that if you get them tweaked, there'll be huge gains out of it?
Absolutely. Look, without sounding, stating the obvious, you know, you can draw three games, you get 3 points, you can lose you lose one and win two and three games, and you have 6 points. So look, we've got to make sure we pick up as many 3 points as we possibly can. But look, we have to give credit to everybody else in the league. You only have to see the improvements that teams are making. People have recruited really well in the off-season, and you know, there's no easy games. Everybody keeps saying this. You know, Sean McGovern's got a really tough game against us and had to dig real deep to turn us over. You see Dundalk at Donaghan, they come from 2-0 down against Waterford. You see Sligo coming from a goal down against Waterford. You know, Fan Harps are fighting at every point, and that's the way it's going to be between now and the end of the season. But the one thing I will say, you know, 2-1s in this league takes you right up to the top end of the table. You know, I think there's only maybe 6 points between ourselves and Dundalk at the minute, sitting in third, fourth place. So we've got to focus on getting our next 3 points, and we've got to try and make sure that when we take that pitch on Friday night, we give everything to get that.
Okay, you've got a European game next week, Declan. There was talk earlier in the week that there might be a doubt over it. As of today, what's the situation with it?
Well, there's no clarification at the minute. I spoke to the players this morning. Our sole focus is in Cork City, coming to Bramwell, but we're preparing as if we're playing a European game on Tuesday in Lithuania. And that's as far as I know at the minute, Oisin. And that has to be the mindset of all of us. We haven't spoken about the opposition just yet because the Cork game is of the utmost paramount importance. When we get the Cork game out of the way, then we'll put our sole focus on the Tuesday. But the rules are, they're kind of vague. People are saying that it could be a walkover. People are saying that we might go to a neutral country. People are saying we'll just go with special dispensation. So at this moment in time, I'm completely unaware of what's going to be happening. But hopefully we'll have more news today in the next 24 hours. And, you know, as of today, I'm focusing on Cork City, but I also have one eye on travelling on Monday to Lithuania.
Okay. Listen, Declan, good luck with the game in Cork, and hopefully we'll see you playing European football next week.
Brilliant, Oisin. Thank you.
Derry boss Declan Devine. Well, as of the other North West sides this weekend, Sligo Rovers, who have been improving since the lockdown, they're taking on Dundalk on Saturday evening. And of course, Finn Harps, who sit bottom of the table, they're going to make the long trip south to the RSC to face off with Waterford United. That one kicks off at 2 o'clock on Sunday, and we will have updates from that game with Matt Keane on Sunday afternoon, as Harps look to pick up some points on the road. They haven't, of course, picked up any points since the resumption of the league. There has been a cup one in there, but league-wise, there hasn't been any points on the board. Some of the highlight games this coming weekend here in the North West, soccer-wise, the Inishowen League football title and the Donegal League football title. The junior level could be decided in Inishowen. Alia are playing Glengad United on Sunday, and a big top of the table clash. A draw or a win there will do for Alia to win the title. If Glengad won the game, they will go a point ahead of Alia, but Alia do have a game in hand. While in the Donegal Junior Football League Premier Division on Sunday, there is a game penciled in. Kilmacrenan Celtic are taking on Drumkeen United. Kilmacrenan, of course, joint leaders with Castlefin Celtic. Now, at the moment, Drumkeen United have brought a halt to all footballing activity in the area due to a precautionary measure over COVID-19. But if the game goes ahead and Kilmacrenan Celtic win, they will win the Premier Division there. However, if it goes ahead and they suffer a defeat, it will bring Cappie Rovers rather and Kildrum Tigers back into the mix. Some of the other sporting action this coming weekend. The first weekend of the National Senior Track and Field Championships are being held Saturday and Sunday at the Martin Stadium in Santry. Again, no spectators are allowed in here, but athletes, of course, will be there competing in the first phase. Quite a few Donegal athletes heading that direction this weekend and next weekend. But I suppose the standout athlete this weekend who will be hoping to jump for a title is Finn Valley Summer Leckie. She will go in the high jump. And the final round of group games in the Northwest Senior T20 Cricket will be played on Saturday afternoon as well. Quite a few sides have already maybe sorted out their positionings in the table, with others looking for wins at the weekend. The following weekend, the top four will go to the Senior Cup. Then the sides positioned then between 4 and 8 will be fighting it out in the Fochan Valley Cup. So there's still a bit to play for in the Northwest Senior T20. Hopefully, fingers crossed, they will get the weather for it. So that's it from another Score programme for tonight. You can, of course, recap if you missed any of the show. It will be available online in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com just after the 8 o'clock news. I'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning. Until then, have a very good evening.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GAA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.